Hello and welcome to episode 703 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan. I am one of the co-founders here at ETR. As always, joined by fellow co-founder Evan Silva and a wild free agency period, especially at the running back position, is now for the most part behind us. Evan, how's it going today?
It's going well. Yeah, the ball kind of started to get rolling, I would say earlier than pretty much anyone anticipated. Really started on Saturday, started to get rolling on Sunday, and then Monday was wild. By the start of the new league year, technically the start of free agency on Wednesday, we had had over 125 players already signed.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, you know, come to terms or agreed to terms. So yeah, I'm still kind of taking it all in. We're going to do our best to collect our thoughts on this show today.
I'm glad that we waited to do this show, because normally we would have done one earlier and it just would have been so out of date so fast. So I'm glad we waited. Almost everything is settled now. Yes, Marquise Brown is a free agent as of right this second. We're recording this Thursday around 2 p.m. Eastern. Big Mike Williams is also a free agent, but beyond that, not much. On this two-part podcast series, Evan and I are going to discuss the 25 most important free agency moves from a fantasy perspective. Part one, what you're listening to here today, will cover moves 25 through 13. Be back with moves 12 through 1 next time. Before we get into it here today, two quick reminders. First, big news. We have launched a new sport here at ETR, and it is MMA. We are covering this in the same way, same format, same intensity we cover our other sports. This product will be led by Brett Apley, who I consider one of the niche's best players and teachers. So if you're interested in MMA, head to establishtherun.com for more. Second, still ton of action on Underdog Fantasy right now. Our rankings for 2024 NFL Best Ball are continuously updated. They are updated for free agency. You can upload those directly to Underdog if you have DraftKings Pro. Also, majors only PGA on Underdog. We have rankings for that if you're a golf subscriber. And of course, the daily NBA snake drafts can use our projections there. If you've never tried Underdog, promo code ETR for a matching deposit bonus up to $100. That's promo code ETR at underdogfantasy.com. All right, let's get into it here. We're going to do free agency moves, most important, 25 through 14. Start with number 25. Kirk Cousins signs with the Falcons. 4 years, $180 million, $100 million guaranteed. Now, I think we kind of saw this coming, Evan, because Kirk always seems to find the bag. I mean, this guy is very good at maximizing his value. Vikings did not want to give a 36-year-old quarterback coming off an Achilles a whole bunch of guaranteed money. Falcons did, to the tune of $100 million. They now have Kirk Cousins, Drake London, Kyle Pitts. Arthur Smith is gone. Zach Robinson, actual offense. It's real easy to get excited about the Falcons right now. What did you think about their decision to give $100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins?
Well, from a real life standpoint, that's not something that I would have done. You know, signing a 36-year-old quarterback coming off a torn Achilles to a deal like that. But obviously, we understand it from Kirk Cousins' standpoint. It became very clear, I thought, in Indianapolis when I was at the combine, that that was a very real possibility. And I would say that the Falcons even emerged as the favorite at that point in time to sign Kirk Cousins. The Vikings are going to moneyball the quarterback position. But the Falcons are serious, and they are Kirk Cousins jumps right into an offense under Zach Robinson that has, like, the Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan roots. Kirk Cousins knows Raheem Morris from Washington. They've added a bunch of weapons. This is really good news for Drake London, Kyle Pitts. They added Darnell Mooney. They just traded for Rondale Moore. So they're building it up to be, and they play indoors, they're building up to be like a pretty solid passing offense, at least on paper.
We have Drake London up to 28th overall in our latest rankings.
Love it.
I would not be shocked if he gets even higher than that once people start to digest how good Kirk Cousins and how pass heavy Kirk Cousins has been in his career. The Vikings, you mentioned, Kirk Cousins is gone now. They do pick 11 overall. I want to get to more of the Falcons stuff in a second, but at 11 overall, they're getting mocked to J.J. McCarthy a lot because they do not have the quarterback position addressed right now. In the meantime, Justin Jefferson is slipping quick in drafts. And this is something we talked about on that YouTube show a little bit. But yeah, Justin Jefferson now is going sixth or seventh. People are like, well, what's he going to do at quarterback? I don't know, man. Do you think they take J.J. McCarthy, or what do you think the Vikings do at quarterback?
I think they probably would have to trade up for J.J. McCarthy. I think that J.J. McCarthy is going to go in the top 10. In terms of Justin Jefferson, I wonder if people might overreact. I mean, Sam Darnold got the ball to Robbie Anderson with the Jets. He got the ball to D.J. Moore with the Panthers. We saw what Nick Mullins and Josh Dobbs did in an extremely passing favorable environment last year under Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. So I wonder if Justin Jefferson might end up being a steal.
Interesting. Okay. The other thing the Falcons did, this is move number 24, Darnell Mooney, 3 years, $39 million, $26 million guaranteed. And they also moved number 23 here on the show, traded Desmond Ridder to the Cardinals straight up for Rondale Moore. So now the three wide receiver set is going to be Drake London, Darnell Mooney, and then Rondale Moore. That is interesting to me. Darnell Mooney does have 140 target season on his resume. That was back in 2021. Turned that into 81 catches, over 1,000 yards, and four touchdowns. People are like, oh my God, Saquon Barkley, who we'll get to later, got $26 million guaranteed roughly. Darnell Mooney also gets $26 million guaranteed. I wouldn't get hung up on that. That's just the positional stuff is what it is. But yeah, Evan, what do you think about Falcons going out and getting Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore?
I thought it made sense from a real life standpoint for sure, because they were so short on weapons. They had Kyle Pitts and Drake London. Obviously, both went underutilized last year under Arthur Smith, but they needed more. I mean, their next receiver behind Darnell Mooney and Rondale Moore is like Kadarrell Hodge or Josh Ali. Mm-hmm. So they need, you know, they needed weapons, and they went out and they got him. And Darnell Mooney's a role player. I don't think I'm going to be too interested in him in fantasy, but he has big play ability. He can run vertical routes. He's really light. He's like 175 pounds. And he, you know, is not a consistent ball catcher, but he makes sense playing in the dome as the number two receiver for Kirk Cousins.
How would you compare Mooney and KJ Osborne? Because when I think about some of these KJ Osborne games, I never wanted to play KJ Osborne in season long. I never really wanted to play him in DFS, but I took him some in best ball, and that was okay. He had some big games. What do you think about that comp between KJ Osborne role and the role that Darnell Mooney is going to have with Cousins?
I think it's pretty different. KJ Osborne played a lot of slot, and I think that Darnell Mooney is going to play a lot outside. But yeah, he'll make sense as a best ball pick for sure.
Okay. The Cardinals side of this, they give up Rondale Moore. Then, you know, Marquise Brown remains a free agent. So now they have Desmond Ridder to back up Kyler Murray. They cleared out their wide receiver room a little bit. I assume, I'm guessing they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. with their first pick in this draft. They also have Michael Wilson. And then they clear the path for Greg Dortch to be their small guy. I thought Greg Dortch actually was more impressive, at least in terms of earning targets, than Rondale Moore was for much of his career. So yeah, you know, Cardinals stuff, it was going to change a lot in the draft, but for now I did think that was a little bit of an upgrade for Greg Dortch with Rondale Moore. Evan, any Cardinals thoughts before we move on?
I think that if you were to peg the favorite for the Falcons to draft at, or the Cardinals to draft at number four overall, it would be Marvin Harrison. I would not be surprised if they try to trade down though. Especially, and there are some people think that the first four picks could all be quarterbacks, and then Marvin Harrison could go at number five. Monty Austinfort traded down a bunch in his first draft as the Cardinals GM last year. I would not be surprised if they try to trade out.
Yep. Yeah, certainly need a lot of talent there in Arizona. Trading down could accomplish that. They are very thin at the wide receiver position right now, certainly. But like Evan said, if some team falls in love with J.J. McCarthy or something like that, and you need him at four, that would be...
Well, that's another thing. I mean, they need multiple receivers.
Yeah.
And this is a draft where you can get a bunch of good receivers because it's just loaded at that position.
Let's go to moves 22 and 21. Move 22 is the Cincinnati Bengals trade Joe Mixon to the Texans for a round seven pick. Bengals also signed Zach Moss, 2 years, $8 million. What I thought was most interesting about this one, Evan, was that they only saved, I believe it was like $6.1 million against the cap by ridding themselves of Joe Mixon in this trade, and they're going to pay Zach Moss $4.5 million. So the delta between that was like $1.6 million, which is nothing in today's NFL. So it struck me, they just thought they're better off with Zach Moss. I'm curious what you think of that. Do you think the Bengals are actually better off with Zach Moss, and how do you think the split between Zach Moss and Chase Brown might go.
I don't think that they're any worse off. I mean, Joe Mixon has lacked explosion as a runner for multiple years now at this point. He hasn't gone over 4.1 yards per carry since 2018.
Yeah.
I think we saw Zach Moss as a player. We saw that last year. And I know that they want to expand the role for Chase Brown. So I think they actually add some explosiveness to their backfield. I think Zach Moss was one of the biggest winners of the initial free agency period. And I actually thought that the move for Joe Mixon to go to the Texans, that was about an ideal landing spot. The Texans they lost their entire offensive line for stretches of last season. All those dudes are coming back. You know, I think that the Texans are going to be really freaking good. So it is an awesome landing spot for Joe Mixon.
You know, this Bengals team is going for it, right? Like, they're in their Super Bowl window. If Joe Burrow can stay healthy, they're going to go for it, it looks like, with Zach Moss and Chase Brown. To me, that shows some confidence in Chase Brown. Remember at the end of last year, they started playing Chase Brown more. He caught 11 balls over the final five games. Last year, he was the 2023 round five pick. So yeah, I think that Chase Brown's going to maybe play a little bit more than people think, but I like the Zach Moss landing spot for sure. Evan mentioned the Texans side. They still have Damian Pierce. It's felt like last year they decided Damian Pierce just was not a fit for their scheme, period. They just gave up on him so fast. And it's not like, I don't know. I don't want to get too high on Joe Mixon here. I think Texans are going to be good. We'll talk about some more of them throughout the offseason. I think they're going to be good. But man, you know, Joe Mixon stuff, like Evan said, he's been so unexplosive. The way he gets unlocked is with CJ Stroud just turning this into one of the best offenses in the entire league. And Joe Mixon scores a bunch of touchdowns. But yeah, do you think they've just totally given up on Damian Pierce? And what do you think about Joe Mixon with the Texans?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they trade Damian Pierce for like a seventh round pick, like during the draft or something like that, and then draft two running backs because they don't have depth at that position either. Yeah. They don't trust Damian Pierce. You're right. He wasn't a fit for Bobby Slowick's outside zone running scheme whatsoever. Lost his job to Devin Singletary. I'm not sure that he's going to open the season on the roster.
Okay. Move number 20, T. Higgins requests a trade. Now, T. Higgins is expected to play under the franchise tag. We have seen many players under the franchise tag request a trade. They're obviously trying to get a long-term deal instead of playing 1 year where they could get hurt. And it's for a lot of money. You know, T. Higgins is going to make 20-something million this year on the franchise tag, but you see what some of these wide receivers are able to get, and T. Higgins could absolutely shatter that. We'll talk about the Calvin Ridley deal later as well. Certainly, T. Higgins would command more than Calvin Ridley. Anyways, my point is, do you think the Bengals will actually explore trading T. Higgins? My thought is they're going for it. And if you're going for it, this might be like one of the last years you can really go for it with a real salary cap, like without blowing up the cap. I would keep T. Higgins and just try to go for it. Now, I don't want an unhappy player on my team, but I would probably just keep him and try to make him play on this tag. What do you think of T. Higgins' trade request, Evan?
It's just wait and see situation. I mean, I think that if they got offered like a really high second round pick, they should pull the trigger and trade T. Higgins. I don't know if they're going to get that, so we'll see. But I'm with you. I mean, I think that they should keep their chips in and go for it with T. Higgins. Joe Burrow back 100%. Jamar Chase back 100%. They added Mike Gesicki at tight end as a receiving option. And they also don't have a clear number three receiver right now because Tyler Boyd is still a free agent.
Yeah.
They do have Yoshivash, who we would love to see him get more opportunities. But right now they don't even have a clear number three receiver. So I would project T. Higgins to be on the week one roster.
Seems like there's very little market for Tyler Boyd. Like maybe they could bring him back for cheap. I mean, there's very little market out there for Tyler Boyd.
No buzz at all.
All right. Move 19 and 18 are together. Mike Evans back to the Bucs, 2 years, $52 million. Baker Mayfield back to the Bucs as well, 3 years, $100 million, $50 million guaranteed. People are so excited about this one. I don't get it. Like, yeah, I'm glad to see Mike Evans finish his career with the Bucs. You know, I'm glad to see Baker Mayfield get rewarded for his play last year. But everybody's all excited. Like, oh, the Bucs are running it back. Great job by the Bucs. They're running it back. They were 9-8. They were 14th in yards per play. They were never a real threat to win the Super Bowl or to get to the championship. You know, it was just like, I don't know. I'm not that excited about the Bucks running it back, but everybody seems so excited they kept the band together. So I didn't really have any great fantasy takeaways from this one, Evan, but what do you think of Baker and Mike Evans and running it back are the Bucks? Yeah,
I don't have any big fantasy takeaways either. It looks like status quo mostly. I do wonder if the effect of losing Dave Canales, who did a really good job with the Bucks offense last year, if that might have an effect. We'll talk about that during the coaching changes stuff.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to number 17. This was one we talked about on the Cuts show that we did with Sam Sherman. Chargers decided to release Big Mike Williams. You know, they just could not keep them all. They could not keep Keenan Allen, Big Mike, Bosa, Khalil Mack. They couldn't do it. And once Big Mike was coming off of an ACL tear and had such a bloated cap number, he was clearly the one that had to go. So they're going to be thinner at wide receiver here. We'll get to some of the other moves that they made in a second, but it seems like they're going to be much more run heavy. They pick fifth. I could see offensive line, but I could also see one of the wide receivers, you know, Neighbors or Rome, or maybe Marvin Harrison will be there. You never know. So they have options, certainly at number five. But yeah, Evan, any reaction to Chargers ridding themselves of Big Mike Williams?
I think I would project them to take a wide receiver at number five. Malik mm-hmm. Neighbors, Marvin Harrison, if he makes it there, as we talked about, you know, if the first four picks are all quarterbacks, Marvin Harrison can make it to him. Mm-hmm. They're super thin a receiver. I don't think you want Josh Palmer as a starter. You got to operate as if Quentin Johnston is like not even really a part of the plan mm-hmm. after his poor rookie year. Keenan Allen's what, 33 years old. their top tight end is Will Disley.
Yeah.
You know, a blocker mainly. So I think they're locked into a pass catcher almost.
Gerald Everett signed with the Bears as well. Evan mentioned the Will Disley thing. So move number 15 in conjunction with that, Chargers signed Gus Edwards, 2 years, $6.5 million. I mean, they're just gearing up to be, I'm worried about this, what Harbaugh and Greg Roman are going to do, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they're gearing up to be some kind of power running team. They signed this old power back, Gus Edwards, they're very familiar with. Fine. They signed Will Disley, who's like a blocker, to play tight end. I mean, behind Gus Edwards, they have like Isaiah Spiller. Josh Kelly's a free agent. They let Big Mike Williams go. I don't know, man. Like, I don't have a great feeling about what the Chargers are going to look like this year based on their personnel moves, based on what they've been talking about. Daniel Jeremiah had a tweet like, they're telling everyone to their face they want to be this jumbo power running team. Maybe we should listen, you know? So, yeah. Any thoughts on the Gus Edwards deal that the Chargers did?
Yeah, Gus Edwards, of course, has familiarity with Greg Roman from Baltimore. Yeah, I mean, that is a style of offense with which Jim Harbaugh won, you know, a decade ago in the NFL and won with at Michigan. I fully expect them to implement that. It's just, is that going to be successful in today's NFL? You know, I guess they're kind of zagging where the other people are zigging, but I don't know. We'll have to see.
I mean, people are down on Justin Herbert, you know, like if I was the coach, my read is I have one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL. Let's build around him. Let's not build around Gus Edwards and Will Disley as starters. But, you know, it seems like the rhetoric out there is not high on Justin Herbert for whatever reason.
I mean, what's the rhetoric? Like, I think that what they're going to try to do is make him really efficient mm-hmm. and lower his volume. And I'm with you that that's not the way that I would use him, but that's the way that they believe. I mean, Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh, it doesn't get run heavier than that.
All right. Move number 15, Austin Eckler, friend of the fantasy community, does a 2-year deal with the Commanders up to $11.4 million, but I suspect that it's actually way less than that. I mean, Eckler could be washed. There's some really bad tape on him out there from last year. He'll be 29 in May, but still, as a very cheap compliment to the power back in Brian Robinson, I thought it was a fine deal that the Commanders did. But yeah, I'm certainly not excited about it from a fantasy perspective. Evan, what do you think about Eckler's deal to go to the Commanders?
Yeah, the actual deal was 2 years, $8.4 million. I thought it was interesting that because the running backs signed so quickly, there was kind of this narrative out there that, oh, running backs are getting paid. When you look at the actual deals, no.
Right.
I mean, this guy's making $4 million a year. Saquon got a decent deal, but, you know, His contract is less than Darnell Mooney's. The number two back, Josh Jacobs, he got $12 million a year on paper, but his deal is really only a one-year deal. He has no guaranteed money beyond the first year. Derrick Henry only got $8 million a year. Again, Eckler, $4 million a year. Yeah, that's complimentary back money.
Yeah.
He only got a little bit more than Zach Moss.
Yeah, it's a tough ranking right now. We have Brian Robinson 98th overall right now and Eckler 118th. You know, it's going to be similar to the conversations we had last year between Brian Robinson and Antonio Gibson. And yeah, we'll get to that, but maybe not any juice left for Austin Eckler. If you're listening, Austin, we'd love to have you come work at ETR. We know you love fantasy. Let us know, buddy. All right. Last move we're going to talk about on part one here, move number 14, Antonio Gibson, 3 years, $11.25 million with the New England Patriots. Look, I've always liked Antonio Gibson. I always thought he could play. These guys who are really good receivers and can also handle 10, 12 carries a game excite me. He's still just 25 years old. He'll be 26 in June. The problem is, I mean, Patriots are going to either have Jaden Daniels or Drake May as their quarterback. Almost certainly, they still have Ramondre Stevenson there. So certainly a very cheap move, low risk move for the Patriots. But what do you think of Antonio Gibson landing up there in New England, Evan?
I think he'll fill a similar role to what Ezekiel Elliott had last year. And he'll be somewhat of a fantasy factor, a guy that we talk about, you know, as a late round pick. If something happens to Ramondre Stevenson, Antonio Gibson becomes interesting. Antonio Gibson has a lot of talent. I mean, he is explosive. He can play in the passing game, really good with the ball in his hands. The dude fumbles. He makes mistakes. He's not, you know, trusted in pass protection. I don't think that the Bill Belichick Patriots would have ever signed a guy like Antonio Gibson. But yeah, I mean, for 3 years, $11.2 million, I think he's worth it. He's a fine number two back.
From a fantasy perspective, you know, it's hard for Ramondre. We've dumped Ramondre down to 94th overall, and maybe that's too harsh, but Ramondre is going to be in a situation where we think Antonio Gibson's going to play a majority of pass downs, right? So his pass catching ceiling is capped. And then we also get into, they might have Jaden Daniels as his quarterback, which wouldn't be great for pass catching either, I don't think. And then also you're going to be on a team that's not going to score a lot of touchdowns. And so, you know, when running backs aren't catching passes and aren't scoring a lot of touchdowns, it's hard. So again, we're down to 94 overall right now on Ramondre Stevenson. All right. That's going to do it for part one of this free agency fallout pod. Stay tuned for part two. We will hit moves 13 through one. Also on the site right now, we have fantasy winners and losers, continuously updating article on the site, a quick look at the biggest fantasy winners and losers, and also breakdowns of every move, how we've changed our rankings, projections, etc. For Evan, for producer Ryan, for producer Luke, I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.